The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a timely, downloadable resource designed for Bible classes. It's titled Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections. Called to Vote is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb. You can find out more and download Called to Vote on every page of our website, issuesetc.org. Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, issuesetc.org.
Refusing to muddy our boots with the muck and mire of politics is simply not an option for a follower of Christ.
Tradition is smarter than any one of us, smarter than any group of us, smarter than any generation.
With modern bromances or modern friendships or even modern marriages, the moment it's not fun anymore, you're not happy anymore, you just abandon it. You leave it because it's not serving you.
The discerning consumer of this type of television should say, Rod Parsley is offering these blessings, Larry Huck is offering these blessings. I think I want those ones better than those ones, so I'll send my money to that guy.
Colorado trumpet players love Issues Etc.
Ordinarily, when we're talking about a big news story, we go here at Issues Etc. We go looking for an actuality, some audio that we can put in the open theme. They'll kind of set the table for the subject at hand. If it's the presidential debates, that's easy to find and get the one candidate responding to the other, that kind of thing. And the story we're going to be dealing with here in the first half hour of the program is one where there's audio. There's no doubt about that. We would have had to have bleeped a few parts of it. And even then, the subject matter would have been, well, entirely inappropriate for a mixed audience, especially one that might contain young children. And there are parents actually having to explain things to their kids nowadays that they didn't think they'd have to explain until they had the talk with them, all occasioned by some 11-year-old comments made by GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump. He was on a hot mic. He didn't realize he was. He was speaking offhand. And what he had to say, what he said he had done has, well, it's had some political consequences. There's no doubt about that. It's also raised some serious questions in my mind about the ability of Christians to reason morally, some moral equivalents and things like that being made that I find as disturbing as the comments themselves in some cases. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. Live on this Thursday afternoon, October the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about conservative Christians and measuring sin. Pastor Hans Feeney will be our guest. He is senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column there titled Comparing Trump to Beyonce Doesn't Mean Christians Think All Sins Are Equal. We'll also talk about Pope Francis' message to a group of about 1,000 Lutherans at the Vatican today. He's calling them to set aside doctrine and work together on social issues. Dr. Mark Kaltoff will join us for part four of our series, Classroom Apologetics. Today, we're going to be in the history classroom, both the European history classroom and the American history classroom, and listening to some of the challenges, some of the presuppositions that are often laid out there early in the semester for high school and college students that militate against the Christian worldview. That's part four of our series on classroom apologetics in the last hour or so of Issues Etc. Feel free to join us with questions or comments over the next 2 hours. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at @issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Pastor Hans Feeney is a regular guest. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and senior contributor to The Federalist. He's written there a column, Comparing Trump to Beyonce Doesn't Mean Christians Think All Sins Are Equal. Hans, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
What was your initial reaction as a Christian citizen voter and as a pastor to the audio revealed on Friday afternoon from 2005?
I suppose the most accurate assessment of my response would have been sort of the Jerry Seinfeld line, this is no good, this is no good, that type of thing. So you're hearing this, and you know there's kind of a twofold response, or sort of a two-part response. On the one hand, you're thinking about, what this means for the nation, that at least one of the options that people have before them is a man who, whether it's empty talk or not, is certainly describing what could very reasonably be construed as some form of sexual assault, sort of whether it's forcing yourself on women or kind of putting them at sort of outward, I mean, just very aggressively, or whether it's sort of having them in an environment where their consent to this behavior is sort of up for debate. So there's a sense in which you look at that and you say, well, this is certainly not a good place for us as a nation if the man that many Christians are turning to be a better alternative in defense of the unborn and in protection of our rights to live according to the dictates of our religiously informed consciences and whatnot. So there's the part where you look at things and you go, oh, this should perhaps cause us to raise the question of whether this is really the bargain we want to strike, and whether we want to be making alliances with someone who certainly seems to be speaking in such a way, and perhaps acting in such a way that is not someone that we want to sort of turn to. And then, of course, there's the response where you just think about Donald Trump as a human being and as a man who is in need of salvation like the rest of us, and a man who, at least in the context of that video, was certainly a person who was seeking glory in the dishonor of his neighbor, which is certainly a troubling thing.
Our conversation here is going to be essentially about not so much what he said or what has happened since, but for lack of a better word, what I'm calling the moral reasoning that's been on display in reactions to it. How would you summarize the various ways of either amplifying what Donald Trump claimed and said, or downplaying it in terms of moral reasoning?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are those who, a lot of times with very unsavory statements that people will make, there's a tendency in there, it's kind of a tribalistic thing, right? That you defend the people that you think are on your side, and you go out of your way to put their comments under the best construction, which I think I've seen quite a bit of, where people basically saying, oh, look, this isn't good, but it's just locker room talk. It's just guys being braggadocious and things of that nature, which I think is straining. I think that's quite a stretch to say this is that, you know, this is no different than, you know, that this is basically just a more perverse version of, you know, old timey guys, you know, saying, looking around and saying, hey, look at the gams on that broad over there, you know, that type of thing. I think it's significantly worse than that. And I think the tendency in people to try and downplay it is to just mere idle speech is generally coming from the minds of people who are saying, this is my guy, this is our only shot at kind of righting the ship. And so I'm going to kind of interpret what he said in whatever way makes me feel like I can still hang on to this. And then I think obviously on the left there has been, you know, there was certainly the motivation to put the worst possible construction on what he said, and to sort of look at this as more of a more than just kind of, you know, guys obviously speaking about women in a poor way, or even perhaps Donald Trump essentially talking about sort of how he would, you know, how he sexually deals with groupies and things of that nature. So in other words, there's probably on the left a tendency to take more consent out of the equation of what he may have been describing, because this is sort of the way the character assassination works, is that you paint someone as a demon, and then you need the evidence. But if you've already concluded that the person is a demon, you don't need necessarily a whole lot. You need a few words that you can take in the worst possible light. So I think I kind of fall, I would say, more along the lines of this is probably describing a type of behavior that he would engage in, and oftentimes with women who were not I don't know what levels of consent that there are. You know, it's not a minefield I want to walk through.
At the very least, taken by surprise.
Right. Yes. As opposed to, you know, just kind of flat out violently, you know, imposing yourself on someone. I think there's probably some kind of ground in between there. But I'm certainly more inclined towards the this is really, really bad rather than this is just a guy talking filthy.
I want to talk about the Beyonce comparison in a minute that you wrote about in The Federalist, but I also want to talk about the Bill Clinton comparison, which is essentially the moral reasoning is, well, sure, we knew what Trump was when we bought into him. This is Trump. This is who he is. And this is what we, you know, we're in for. We kind of figured he was this kind of a guy, and he's no worse than the spouse of the woman he's running against and the things. In fact, he may even be less worse in a real sense than Bill Clinton. What do you make of that kind of moral reasoning?
Yeah, it's I think it's morally problematic to say because the left is being hypocritical, we can be hypocritical too. That should not be the mindset of Christians. It shouldn't be the mindset of theologians. You know, so yes, absolutely, we should point out the moral hypocrisy of the left. But we should point it out to say we all deserve better than this. To say that women who have been raped, women who have been sexually assaulted, who have been treated shamefully, that they deserve justice, regardless of whether that justice comes at the expense of someone's political career. And yeah, unfortunately, I think in the end, what we've got is it's come down to if you think you should, half the country is saying, well, let's just ignore sexual assault in order to get Hillary Clinton into the White Office with regard to Bill Clinton, and the other half is saying, let's ignore sexual assault in order to get to keep Hillary Clinton out of the White House. So it is a moral. Yeah, a moral justification that I just think we should know better than that.
What is the, for those who are not familiar with it, what is the Donald Trump Beyonce comparison?
Well, I think what people are basically trying to say is that there is, it's very difficult to take leftist or liberal outrage over this seriously. So when you've got, you know, I believe, if I remember correctly, that at some point Michelle Obama talked about how Beyonce is a great role model for young women. And if you look at the way that certainly that Beyonce is often dressing, and some of her music is quite sexually explicit, certainly doesn't by any means hold up the kind of example that Christians would say exemplifies the feminine virtues of chastity and honesty and a quiet and gentle spirit and these types of things. So I think what's happening is that people will look at the selective outrage of the left and just say, you've got to be joking me. So a guy here talks about doing exactly the same kinds of things that, you know, are being described in, that are being described in, you know, rap music and other forms of music and other just sort of filthy forms of, if you want to call it, artistic expression. You know, that is, there's, I think, a kind of, people just sort of look at that and say, well, you're not really mad. If you were mad about this, if you were mad at women being treated this way, if you were mad at people speaking this way about women, then you wouldn't exemplify and you wouldn't sort of hold up as exemplary a bunch of people who are doing precisely that. This is at least with the presupposition that Trump's words are just words. And that's certainly a point that I understand. You know, it's a bit like, you know, in the Hollywood community where Mel Gibson is, you know, has had a hard time getting a job for a number of years. But, you know, they gave Roman Polanski a standing ovation a number of years ago when he won the Best Director Oscar. And, you know, he can't collect his Oscar because he is still basically unable to re-enter the country because he drugged and raped a 13-year-old girl back in the 70s. So there's this kind of ridiculous selective outrage, which just makes it seem like you don't really care. It's just that this guy's not on your team. And so you're going to apply your moral standards there, but not if he actually were on your team. And of course that's a problem. But again, it's not a problem that we solve by saying we're going to do it too.
Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about conservative Christians and measuring sin. We'll get to, well, a distinction that needs to be made here, that sin is sin, that's true, but the actual consequences, the actual harm that is done by sin does vary from sin to sin. He's pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and senior contributor to The Federalist, author of a recent column there titled Comparing Trump to Beyonce Doesn't Mean Christians Think All Sins Are Equal. You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. So if sin is sin and all sin damns, all sin deserves hell, does that mean that all sins are equal? We'll be right back.
When you say, I am baptized, you are in fact saying, Jesus died for me.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Now that work of Christ for you is given to you in baptism.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a timely, downloadable resource designed for Bible classes. It's titled Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections. Called to Vote is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb. You can find out more and download Called to Vote on every page of our website, issuesetc.org. Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, issuesetc.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in October, and we'll send you a limited edition Here I Stand t-shirt. Find out more about our monthly or annual giving program at issuesetc.org. Just click the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses, or call Craig 618-223-8385. Join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by Reformation Day, and we'll send you a limited edition long-sleeve shirt along with your other membership benefits. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about conservative Christians and measuring sin. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a downloadable resource for your Bible class. It's written by Dr. Ken Sherb, a regular guest here on the program, and it's timely for the subject of and the political time we're living in right now. It's called Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections. It's a good basic Lutheran primer on, well, I guess we call Christian citizenship in a constitutional republic like the United States of America. Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections, downloadable at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page, issuesetc.org. You say that all sins merit hell, or I'd say all sins damn, not all hurt people equally. Make your case, Hans.
Sure. Yeah. Well, this was the, kind of the piece I was originally responding to was something that ran in a publication called Vox by a guy named Todd Vanderwerf, where he was trying to understand why it is, trying to explain, I suppose, to his audience why it is that that so many conservative Christians were bringing up this kind of, oh, you all say you're outraged by Donald Trump, but, you know, everyone's buying 50 Shades of Grey and listening to filthy song lyrics. And the argument he tried to make for why people were making this comparison was that, well, Christians believe, and he later went back to kind of clarify, evangelical Christians, conservative evangelical Christians believe that all sins are equal. So therefore, there's nothing, you know, sexual assault isn't any worse than filthy language. Which, so that's kind of the point of my whole piece, is explaining what do Christians actually believe about this. So, yeah, so it's, there's, kind of the way I try to approach it is that there are different ways that the Bible measures sin. And so one of those ways is, and chief of those ways is certainly percentage condemned, right? And this is the sense in which all sins are equal. So that God requires you, in order to inherit eternal life, God requires you to be as righteous as he is. So as opposed to kind of the mindset of self-righteous people, the Pharisaical mindset, what we see a lot in scriptures, it's not that God requires you to be more holy than the worst guy you know, or more holy than the average guy you know. It's that God requires you to be as holy as he is. And even the smallest infraction of the law irreparably destroys that perfection. So it's either perfect or it's not. And so in that sense, all sins are equal in the sense that they equally condemn you, and that they render everyone equally in need of Christ's forgiveness. Where sins are not equal is in kind of two other forms of measurement, is in how greatly they anger God, as well as how destructive they are to your neighbor. And those two categories are different, even though they're very much kind of intertwined, and there's a lot of overlap between them. So, you know, so for example, thinking hateful thoughts about your neighbor is sinful, and you need Christ's forgiveness in order to attain eternal life. But murdering your neighbor angers God more, and it's obviously worse for your neighbor than just thinking bad thoughts about him. So in that sense, we would say, well, of course those sins aren't equal. You know, that's why it is that the biblical, the punishment in the law of Moses, the civil punishment for certain sins is greater than it is for other sins, because God despises them more, they anger God more, they fly in the face of God more, and also because those sins have a far more destructive impact on your neighbor and on God's people in general.
Okay, you're really talking about a distinction that is so important in Christian theology, and you've put it in kind of simplest terms, the distinction between how we stand before God and consequences, one might say consequences before God, and how we stand before our neighbor or before men. Isn't that the distinction at work here?
Right, yeah, that's precisely the distinction.
Okay, so play this out for us in terms of the consequent hurt. Using Beyonce and Donald Trump. Beyonce has lyrics that are equally crude, uses the same kind of languages, maybe even the same kind of images. Donald Trump says on tape, I do this kind of thing. People let me get right away with it because I'm a star. Assuming that those are not mere words, but actual an admission of what he had done. What's the difference there?
Well, yeah, obviously the difference is that one is far more harmful to your neighbor. I mean, on the one hand, it's not like speaking perversely and filthy words do obviously have an impact in the world. I mean, there's, you know, the more sexual immorality is spoken of, the more it's committed. But at the same time, we recognize that engaging in some various form of sexual assault, of forcing yourself on someone, is a far greater and far more immediate violation of the dignity that God created your neighbor to have.
Are you concerned, Hans, about the fact that there isn't an ability to see the distinction between harm done by sins. The kind of we're all sinners excuse that we have heard so often in the last 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, I think that is, it's a reflection of some very poor theology, or at least a tribalism-induced lapse in sort of theological judgment, I guess. So, in other words, I think, again, because there's this, just this great sense of fear in a lot of Christians over, looking at, if Hillary Clinton gets elected, then you can kiss the Supreme Court goodbye. You can give up on the notion that anytime soon that Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned, and you can count on the fact that we're probably not too far from, you know, churches having their tax exempt status revoked, and of people being, you know, thrown in jail for violating whatever forms of hate speech that the Supreme, you know, that a liberally inclined Supreme Court might just magically discover are not protected by the First Amendment. So, you know, so there's this great sense of fear, I think, in various parts of the Christian community. And so there's just this temptation to just find whatever is the quickest and easiest argument you can make to kind of push away the sense of unrest that you find in all of this. So, yeah, this is when we kind of throw out stuff like, you know, oh, well, look, we're all sinners, or, oh, we're not, you know, we're not electing someone to be pastor in chief and things of this nature. You know, it's obviously, it's one thing to be ruled by unjust or to be ruled by unrighteous people in a civil sense and how man sees things. It's one thing to have a king who is licentious, or to have, you know, an emperor who's cruel and abusive. It's another thing to elect that person. And when God has given you a government where you have a vote, the idea that you're going to get in league with Egypt so that you can protect yourself from the Assyrians is not one that God responded well to in biblical times, and it's certainly not one, I think, that is going to give us a much greater sense of innocence before his eyes today.
With about 30 seconds here, I guess my concern is that otherwise sensible Christians who are lured into this moral reasoning, this faulty moral reasoning, might find themselves unable to stand up against even worse kind of admissions, that they're going to have to excuse not just this, but eventually anything. What are your thoughts with about 30 seconds?
Yeah, I think that's, this is why this is such a difficult issue, is because everyone's conscience, it sort of lands somewhere else on the map as to what you're willing to accept and what you're willing to embrace and to deal with in order to accomplish what you think is the good. So I would hope that, for, you know, Christians wouldn't be, you know, would be, if a man was, you know, basically saying, well, I'm going to be, you know, turning the White House into a harem and things of this nature, or, you know, I'll be killing any political rival or something of that nature. I would hope that Christians would look at that and they'd say, you know what, I want to defend the rights of the unborn with my vote, but I can't do it that way. I can't in good conscience try to bring about the moral good through such a wicked means. And I think that this is ultimately the question that a lot of Christians are wrestling with Donald Trump, is this too much? Is this a situation where we just have to say, I can't go this far in order to try to yield the good with my vote that I want to yield?
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist, and author of a recent column titled Comparing Trump to Beyonce Doesn't Mean Christians Think All Sins Are Equal. Hans, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you very much.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Al Culver talking about Pope Francis' message to a group of about 1,000 Lutherans at the Vatican today. Stay tuned. Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. doxology.us. Doxology.us.
The people of Zion Lutheran Church, East Moline, Illinois, invite you to discover the blessings that await you here. At Zion, we proclaim a gospel of free grace for all. No one ever falls too low to find forgiveness and peace with God in Christ Jesus. To learn more, visit us at zionem.com or join us on Sunday at 9 a.m. Zion is located at 17618 Hubbard Road in rural East Moline, Illinois.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky, Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.